Without further ado, let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and bring in Steve Hellwagon of 247 Sports and Bucknuts. Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. I'm excited, man. I'm excited to talk about college football. Fall is coming around the corner, and it's almost here, and it's time to get into that Buckeye football talk. Looking at the Buckeyes right now, they transitioned. A team in transition. If I was going to talk about, if this was like a 2019 press guide, a team in transition, what do you expect out of Ryan Day? And what do you have you seen as far as the differences between Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes versus Urban Meyer and the Ohio State Buckeyes?
Well, I think for Ohio State and the athletic director, Gene Smith, I think one of the big things was continuity. And Ryan Day had been there at Ohio State the last 2 years. They've won the Big Ten championship the last 2 years, beaten Michigan, I believe, 7 years in a row, all 7 years that Urban Meyer was there, beat USC in the Cotton Bowl, and then this past year beat Washington in the Rose Bowl. So they've done everything but make the playoff here the last couple of years. And finished, I think, number three in the polls at the end of last season, 13-1. So they didn't want to take this program and completely uproot it and start over with, you know, let's say Matt Campbell, the guy who used to be at Toledo, is now at Iowa State, and seems to be kind of upwardly mobile right now. That they wanted to maintain some continuity. So that's what they did when they elevated Ryan Day as the head coach. So a lot will be different, but I think a lot will still be the same, if that makes sense. I mean, you have Ryan Day, and he's going to be his own man and put his own touch on the program. But at the same time, you've got you know, so many holdovers, both on the coaching staff and behind the scenes, and actually even a lot of the players on the field recruited to be there by Urban Meyer. So it'll look and feel quite a bit the same, I think. It'll just be a different guy over there with the head coaching headphones on.
You know, talking about it, just everything is different, just slightly a bit different. One of the guys that will be different is Justin Fields. He was a guy, you know, I'm one of those junkies that looks after, like, everybody. All this kid's the number one recruit coming out. I'm always, quote-unquote, watching film. It's nothing but YouTube tape. I'm watching YouTube tape on this guy, and when he went to Georgia, I'm like, man, this guy is really going to take some minutes away from somebody at Georgia. But they had a logjam at Georgia. He ends up transferring. He's at Ohio State. What is his skill set compared to Dwayne Haskins, and what do you expect from him this year?
That is a great question. He played a little bit of a mop-up role at Georgia last year, and obviously things did not end up on a good note for him at Georgia. He decided to leave there, was granted the ability to have immediate eligibility elsewhere because there was an incident that occurred at Georgia. So here's Fields, the number one quarterback in the country, and he went there knowing full well that Fromm was the quarterback at Georgia, and he was the primary backup most of last year, played in some mop-up situations, but by and large it was Fromm who got all the meaningful snaps for Georgia. So I think Fields, seeing that Fromm was coming back for another season here in 2019, got anxious and said, hey, I want to move on, and used that situation to his advantage and got immediate eligibility at Ohio State. The Buckeyes, of course, lost Dwayne Haskins. He left school a little bit early to go to the NFL. And so, it was just a case again that the timing of the situation just kind of all came together and the job's open. And yet Ryan Day has not announced him as the starting quarterback yet. I think he's kind of still dangling that carrot out there for Justin Fields to try and go into the preseason and earn the job. So I guess we'll see how that goes in preseason camp. But Fields is more of a runner, more of an athlete playing the quarterback position. I think he can throw the football, but certainly I don't know that we'll ever see another quarterback with the arm that Dwayne Haskins had at quarterback for that one season at Ohio State, 50 touchdowns, and he set records I'm not sure anybody in the Big Ten will ever break. So, it's going to be a little bit of a transition, I think, for Ohio State fans, and I think there's probably some uneasy feeling. I think Fields was 4 of 13 in the spring game back in April, which, again, just kind of a glorified scrimmage with a mishmash of guys on both sides. Kind of hard to read anything out of it, but I think that certainly I think people want to see where the bullets start flying. And Ohio State opens up with Florida Atlantic in August. Last Saturday in August, that he's ready to go and be that quarterback that the Buckeyes need.
Talking to Steve Hellwagon of 247 Sports and Bucknuts on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Looking at this transition into the defense, they got another guy that looks the part. This is what they do. You know, you have both of the Boses coming out. You have Draymond Jones last year. Ohio State and defensive lineman Will Smith. We can go way back and we just keep going. Ohio State consistently gets defensive linemen. They got another one up. They got Chase Young, Jonathan Cooper. Those guys will pretty much be on the outside. Freshman, they got a Zach Harrison that looks like he's one of the top defensive end recruits. They look solid up front. They got a linebacker core that's coming back. They had trouble tackling and stopping a run. What do you think they'll look like on defense, and will they be able to shore up stopping a run this year?
Yeah, that's a tremendous question. Ohio State set some records that you don't want to set last year. Gave up 25.5 points per game, over 400 yards per game, which I think are both school records to the bad for Ohio State in the modern era. I think you have to go back to the late 1980s when they really had some struggles and some teams that were not up to snuff. Luckily, they had Dwayne Haskins in that offense on the other side, and those guys, are putting up 42 points a game. So you can give up 25 when you're scoring 42 and you're putting up well over 500 yards total offense. You can get away with it, but Ohio State threw for 364 yards a game last year, wow, which is just amazing. So you can allow a few more points and a few yards on defense, but that's the same thing, though. When they played at Purdue, they could not stop Purdue that one night, and that game was kind of a microcosm of the season. I think for the defense, they gave up a touchdown run and a touchdown pass throughout the course of the year that were both 90-yard plays. And these are just things that are not characteristic of what Ohio State has had on defense over the years. So Ryan Day, given the chances of the head coach, I kind of cleaned house on the coaching staff, brought in four new assistant coaches. Jeff Hafley will come in and call the defense. He'd been with the San Francisco 49ers. Brought in Greg Madison, a guy that had done very well at the University of Michigan as an assistant coach. They retained Larry Johnson, the defensive line coach, who's coached the Boses and is now coaching Chase Young. And that's kind of his calling card, is putting great defensive linemen on the field. So I think they're going to revamp the defense, try and get it back to Ohio State standards. I think you make a good point. They have nine starters coming back. And the interesting thing is, a lot of guys are going to be a year older, but they've got to be much better overall, top to bottom and side to side. They got some guys on this defense who could probably play for just about anybody in the country. Chase Young is a preseason All-American, a defensive end. Malik Harrison, remember that name, number 39, an outside linebacker. He really came on at the end of last season. Jordan Fuller and Brennan White at safety are both really good. Arnett Okuda and Sean Wade at cornerback. So you've got four or five, six really good players on that defense. Now it's a matter of it coming together.
And really quick, final question before we let you go out of here. Steve Hellwagon out of 247 Sports in Bucknuts. When you look at this, it always comes down to the at Michigan, November 30th, Michigan, they got their quarterback coming back. Shea Patterson is back. I don't know how many years of eligibility he has. It just seems like I seen him playing at Ole Miss like 5 years ago, but I digress. Is it this year, is it Michigan's? Does Michigan have to think that they have the upper hand with the new coach, the new quarterback? Does Michigan think that they have the upper hand in actually winning this game, and they got it at Michigan this year?
Yeah, you know, I think that from all the struggles that they've been through over the last few years, they're holding on to the hope that they are at one point or another going to put a stop to this great Ohio State run. And the coaching change at Ohio State may be just the ticket that they need to do that. So, you know, I guess we will wait and see in November how it comes down. I was just picking things today for every game all season long, and I came down to Ohio State versus Michigan for the Eastern Division Championship at the end. And, you know, to be honest with you, I am of a mind that until Michigan can display that it can defeat Ohio State, and as long as Ohio State doesn't have a cataclysm like, you know, having a bunch of guys suspended or, you know, injuries or whatever, I'm going to keep picking Ohio State. It's kind of like objects in motion will tend to continue in motion type thing is what I'm looking at. And, you know, you're going to have to prove it to me before I start picking Michigan on any kind of a consistent basis. I mean, they were favored last year and got blown out 62-39. They had one of the top defenses in the country. They lost guys like Bush and Winovich and Gary off that defense. And now they're touting their defense. You know, the defense that gave up 62 points, the defense that lost its three best players, and that defense is supposed to be the backbone of the team that's going to beat Ohio State. You're going to have to show me. That's just my opinion on that. So my vote's with Ohio State. I know that a lot of people are picking Michigan in the polls and different things to come out ahead of them. But until they do it, I don't know how you can pick them. I really don't.
Hey, man, I appreciate it so much coming on me, dropping me so much knowledge. Hopefully we can get together again when the season starts and have you break down some of these games for us over the weekend. I appreciate you.
That'd be great. No problem. Anytime.
All right. Thank you very much, man. That was Steve Hellwagon of 247 Sports in Bucknuts. And check out his work and really giving us insight to what's going on with Ohio State, breaking it all the way down, giving us depth charts, all kinds of stuff. Two deep, three deep, and doing really one of the best, keeping it up with the Buckeyes.